Hey, you guys. Happy Sunday.
Yeah.
It's Sunday. We're kind of sleepy. Although, we didn't go out late last night. I didn't even think I drank last night. You did.
Yeah.
You had some leftover from...
from the other day.
From still the other day. It was still sitting there, and you're like, hey, well, it's still good. We'll put ice in it.
Yeah, just put ice in it. It's perfectly preserved. Right there. So yeah, we saw this new movie. What's it called? Nightmare Alley. That's what it is. And it's a movie. It looked like it was going to be some kind of supernatural horror movie or something. It's neither. But it's good. It's really good. It's about carnies and the weird shit, the weird grifts and shit that they were doing. And it fucking turned into some fucking pretty dark stuff. And it's from a book, and there's an older movies that this comes from. But Guillermo del Toro, this is his interpretation of it. It's fucking good. It's real good. Even the sets, it's happening back in the 40s, the 30s and the 40s. And it transports you back there. It looks authentic. Some of these old fucking buildings. I don't know, where was that, Chicago?
Buffalo, New York. Some of it was filmed in Buffalo. Some of it was filmed in Canada, but a lot of it was filmed in Buffalo.
Real high-end Art Deco fucking buildings and offices and good sets and stuff taking place in fucking carnivals with weird acts going on and a bunch of grifters. Grifters and criminals and hobos, and you expect fucking Panzram to show up, start raping men. It's all kinds of stuff happens in it. It's good. I enjoyed it.
I mean, I did too. I have to say, it's not going to be for everybody, but I legit loved this movie. I mean, I think really, I've seen like a lot of critics really seem to be digging it, and some were like, well, it's a little bit too long. It's long. It's 2.5 hours. It didn't really, I mean, honestly, I was just like captivated the whole time. It was such an interesting story.
Told this dude's story about why he joined the carnival. He killed somebody. They don't really get into it, but you know that he did. Or you see him hiding the body, and then he joins the carnival. And then once he's in the carnival, starts a new life and learns all these skills and becomes a mentalist. But he steals those skills from another dude. And it's like, he's like a Sith Lord. And all of a sudden, he's kind of believing his shit. They warned him about it. It says, you know, the old mentalist was like, you might start believing your own shit and get yourself into big trouble. And it happens. He's getting to where he could just almost like read people's minds. And you start buying into it that maybe this is some kind of psychic ability. But then he comes back, no, no, no. And he explains how he did it. But he was so good at it. You go, well, it may as well be supernatural. So it kind of fueled his fucking head and his ego getting bigger and bigger. And
he started getting greedy.
He gets in with fucking rich dudes, goes up through lawyers, and the next thing you know, these fucking billionaire fucking Rockefeller type dudes who fucking need him to contact the dead and shit. And then it turns out that these dudes are no good, man. They got their own fucking private security.
Yeah, pretty much every character in this is terrible in their own ways.
Which it all kinds of fucking goes back to what I've been telling you people over the fucking years. The more power and fucking wealth a dude accrues, the more suspect he is. There's a reason why he got that way. And it gets into that, even though it's kind of a side story. He had a problem. He's basically almost like a serial killer in a way. Or it infers that maybe he is one. It's difficult to say. You just have to see the movie. But he's threatening him, you know, fucking, you do this and that, fucking, you're going to see what I do to you. You know, this is just a fucking rich dude with his, he's got a bodyguard. I recognize him from another movie.
On Mindhunter.
Mindhunter, yeah.
I mean, he's been in a ton of shit, but he was in a Mindhunter.
He's kind of like a private detective, but he's fucking, looks like something from the mafia, kind of like a mixture of the both, and he'll kill you with a fucking heartbeat. His loyalties, or he loves that old dude because what he did for him. So he'll do anything for him, including fucking commit murder. And this guy's fucking just loaded. And this mentalist just gets himself deeper and deeper, falls in with this psychologist. And it turns out she's as bad as he is. She's
Or maybe worse.
Or worse. You just got to make she's a predator too. She's doing the same thing he's doing. It's just that she's using the psychotherapy to do it, but it's the same thing. Bilking these motherfuckers out of money. It's a good flick, real good. Real good.
Yeah, I mean,
like
I said,
she's using mind powers on a motherfucker like she's a damn Jedi. They're, like she's a fucking Sith Lord and crap. But she's just doing it, using a different style. And it's all grounded in reality. It's not...
Yeah, because I kind of feel like, I think... Maybe. I kind of feel like maybe people would be surprised that Guillermo del Toro would make a movie like this, because his whole thing, he likes to do, like, supernatural or more, like, fantasy-type stuff. I think this is the first movie that he's done that has no supernatural elements whatsoever. But you can actually see why he would want to do a movie like this. It's not what he would usually do, but I really think he brings something to this. Now, yeah, so this was actually based on a novel which came out in 1946 by William Lindsay Gresham. And then they made a version of it in 1947 with Tyrone Power. Now, interestingly, I'm not going to spoil the end because this movie's like super new, so I don't really want to like spoil the end. And I really do. I mean, as I said, it's not going to be for everybody, but I loved it. I thought it was like so, so good. But interestingly, the 1947 version has a little bit of a more hopeful ending. This one has the same ending as the book, which is pretty fucking bleak, I'm going to say. This is essentially... What it is, it's like a road to ruin type story. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, but you're basically following Stan, who's like the main character, Stan Carlisle, I think his name is, and how he, you're following him throughout like several years of his life, how he gets into these situations, how he gets in with the carnival, and then he gets all these powers, and then like he's this big success. But the thing, it's almost kind of like a tragic downfall type story, because you know... As you're watching him, he's not a good person. And I mean, as the movie goes on...
You kind of like him, but he's
You kind of like him, but he's almost like an anti-hero. But then as the movie goes on, you're like, oh, wow. He's like... He reveals himself to be like a shittier and shittier person like the whole time.
It's like... The story's about power and karma. You can have power, but in a way you kind of have to pay for it. And everything kind of comes back, which is... And it's basically the same kind of laws about witchcraft. You can cast a spell, but it costs you. Like what happened to old Ed Harley? You know, using these mentalist powers and grifts on people, it comes back if you do it. If you start abusing it too hard, and it kind of drawing parallels between grifting, using carny grifts, and the kind of grifts that a psychotherapist or scientist or a doctor or any kind of professional, you can scamify or griftify anything. And that's really what the carny lifestyle is about. And they're just showing it that it extends outside of carnivals into the fucking wider world. It's showing a world of corruption, how anything can be used as a weapon. But there's karma. You pay for it eventually, especially if you use it too much. That's what I picked up from it.
Well, and as I said, too, it's kind of based around your main character, who I think, like, Bradley Cooper was a good choice for this because, you know, he's a good-looking dude, and he's kind of a charming dude, and you don't want to believe that he's as terrible a person as he is.
Because of how he looks and the setting and his costumes, you kind of see him as Indiana Jones, but he's not. But he reminds you a lot of fucking Indiana Jones to me.
Yeah, he does have that kind of vibe to him.
Yeah, it's kind of like I was looking at fucking old, what's his name?
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. And Harrison Ford, I've never really seen him play a bad guy. But as it starts to unfold, you see they give him these abilities. They tell him, but this is, the dude warns him. Says that, you know, there's limits to this. Eventually you'll start, if you start believing your own bullshit, it's going to lead you down a bad path. And that's really what the story is about.
He's everybody like was warning him.
They're warning him about what he's doing.
But as I said, his fatal flaws were one, greed.
Yeah.
Because he got in like, and he was making more and more money because of this scam that he was running with the psychoanalyst.
Yeah.
And also his overconfidence in his own abilities. He thought that he could just do anything. He was good at it.
He started to believe it in a certain sense.
But he really did kind of start to
believe in his own invulnerability. His own infallibility. And he was right about a lot of shit, but then he'd come at, it seemed supernatural, but then he'd come back and he'd explain how he thought that. But he was pretty accurate.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, like, when, so you start to, it kind of blurred the lines. Well, it may as well be supernatural. So next thing you know, he's believing his own bullshit. He's believing in his own magic. very much like fucking L. Ron Hubbard. And those cult leaders start doing that. They start believing their own bullshit. They start to think they're infallible, that they're supernatural in some weird way, or that it may as well be supernatural. It's not. But it comes back on them kind of like something supernatural eventually anyway. It has to do with geeking, and I don't want to spoil it. But they show you how to make a geek.
And that scene between him and Willem Dafoe is so good. I mean, Willem Dafoe is great in this. He's not in it a lot. He's kind of like the guy that runs the 10-in-1 that he first goes to the carnival. And he's such a sleaze.
Yeah.
He's just like, he's so fucking good at this. And that conversation where he tells him about like how they get geeks for the old-time carnies.
Yeah, making a geek is about exploiting the weakness of fucking a person who's already got some kind of like a drug and alcohol problem. How you can take a person like that and fucking magnify it and make money off of it. And which is fucking highly, highly fucking immoral. But these dudes are fucking bad. They're like fucking sorcerers.
That's what I mean. Pretty much everybody. Now, I'm not going to say everybody, like, because
not all of them were bad.
Rooney Mara's character, Molly, she's a good person. And, you know, some of the other carnies, you know, were good people. Yeah. But the dude running the carnival, you know, Bradley Cooper's character, Kate Blanchett's character, the femme fatale, these were all terrible, terrible people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But very, very entertaining to watch them. It's a very seedy.
Yeah.
But I liked that about it. So it's like the first half of it, like I said, it's long. It's like 2.5 hours. Like the first half of it or the first third of it takes place at the carnival in 1939. And I really dug that because, I mean, we've done a show about like old sideshows and stuff like that. I love that kind of stuff. I love the aesthetic of it. I just love all those old carnivals, like those like fucking freak shows and pickled punks in the jars and shit like that. So that's like the first third. And then it goes to like, it jumps ahead 2 years to where, you know, Bradley Cooper's character Stan and Molly have kind of like, they've kind of gone up in the world. They have this really good mentalist act and, you know, everybody comes to see them. So they have, like, a lot of rich people coming to see them, so they're making money. And then it's kind of, like, goes into, as I said, his overweening ambition.
Yeah.
And he gets in with Cate Blanchett's character, whose name is Lilith, by the way.
Oh.
They didn't really say, like, I don't even think they call her by, because she was a psychoanalyst. But it's said on the door.
Okay, yeah. I don't think he ever mentioned her name.
Yeah. I mean, she had the, you know, her name was Dr. whatever her last name was, but her first name was Lilith.
She puts on
Lilith.
The fucking perfect 40s dame fucking show.
Yeah, she was fucking great.
With her legs and her fucking mannerisms and her outfits. Just like she looked like a 40s supermodel. She was fucking but it's all just part of her special secret abilities. I mean, they're like fucking Jedi and Sith. There's like light side, there's light side fucking carny abilities, or light side scams and dark side scams. It's that kind of shit. It's like bad. It's like white witches and fucking sorcery. That's exactly what kind of what it's talking about. I believe there's a fucking not a what do you call it. There's some parallels there between what they're doing and magic or sorcery.
Yeah.
You pick that up? Yeah. Okay. It wasn't my imagination, I don't believe.
Yeah, Sheila Ann says, Houdini used to do a mentalist act with Bess early in his career. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think we did a show about Houdini a long time ago, now that I'm thinking about it. We should maybe revisit that, because I love all that kind of stuff and all that spiritualist kind of stuff. Some people are pointing out, because you said Harrison Ford had never played a bad guy. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah, some people have. Oscar Perez says, What Lies Beneath? Yeah, he's a bad guy.
I didn't see that one.
That's actually pretty good.
Is it good?
In The Conversation, he was a bad guy in that. Never saw Mango. That. Yeah, so he has been a bad guy in some things.
So it's kind of like watching Harrison Ford. I felt like I was watching Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
You know, sorry. You don't seem to agree with me, but...
No, I mean, I know what you're saying. It's just like, he didn't really give me that vibe, but I see what you're talking about.
Gave me very much like a Harrison Ford doing Indiana Jones as a mentalist. It just felt like that to me.
But like I said, I think that that's why he was a good choice for this, because...
You don't see him as a threat.
You don't see him... You don't want him to be a bad guy, because he seems... Yeah. You know, he's a good-looking dude, and he's, like, charming.
Yeah.
And... At first, like, when he goes to the carnival, like, he's doing helpful shit, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's helping them out, and he, you know, when he first meets Molly, you know, he makes her act better, you know, because she's like an electric girl, you know, with, like, they used to have at the old carnival sideshows. And, you know, he builds her an electric chair and, like, he does, like, ups her game, you know what I mean? And so he seems like a good, like, you know, he's not a good dude because the very first scene of the movie,
he's burying somebody,
is him like putting a dead body in the floor and like burning a house down. So, but you don't know what the context of that is. You're like, well, it's probably not good. Like, for sure, he killed somebody. It looks like
it's deniable, though.
But you don't know
what the deal was,
right? You don't know what the deal was with that. You find out later on. So you don't want to see him as a bad guy.
Yeah, but as things go on, fucking. He's good, but some bad things happen around him, and you're like, wait a minute, hold on. Did he do that? You don't know. But then, as it kind of unfolds, you're like, oh, no. Yeah, he did do that.
Like I said, that's kind of like the more the movie goes on, I'm like, oh, my God, he's just like the... He just gets shittier and shittier.
He's grifting you. He's scamming you. The
That's
viewer.
What I mean. That's why he was like a good... And honestly, when they made the 1947 version, they did a similar kind of mind game because they had Tyrone Power, who was this very, very handsome, charming actor. So they want... I mean, you're kind of like running the same grift on the audience because it's like you don't want to believe this good-looking, charming dude is... a sociopath,
essentially just only out for himself, right?
Yeah, and but you know, and then as it goes on, you're just kind of like, oh man, this dude sucks. It's like, oh my God, he's terrible. But well, like I said, a lot of people in this are terrible. You know, Willem Dafoe's character, he's a terrible person. Like I said, most of the carnies seem nice enough.
Well, yeah, you don't know a lot about them.
You don't know a lot about them because they're mostly like, but I mean,
I assume that a lot of them are bad except the electric girl.
Well, she seemed like kind of an innocent, I mean, she wasn't that innocent.
And the strong man.
And the strong man, Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
You know, he was very protective of her.
Yeah. And the little midget.
Yeah.
With him, he seemed
and
to be okay.
Well, and it seemed to me too that Madame Xena, you know, Toni Collette's character, and her husband, who were the ones who Bradley Cooper like learned all the mentalist stuff from, they seemed like pretty nice people. Like as carnies go.
She was using him to get ahead when he was getting too old, she was getting ready to discard him for the younger one. She was a predator too.
Although,
it was sexual.
But I don't know. I'm kind of going back to...
I think it was an open relationship, though.
That's what I'm saying, because I think in the book, there wasn't any whiff of that. Like, she wasn't, like, a bad person, necessarily. I don't think. Like, at least from what I could determine from the plot synopsis, because I haven't read the book. But, she didn't seem like a bad person, necessarily.
The way I interpreted it is that she was going to replace the old guy with him. That's how I...
Yeah.
And... Which...
Well,
He was used up anyway.
Well, he couldn't help her anymore because he was a drunk.
He was a drunk and he was on
She
his
still
way
loved
out.
Him, though.
Yeah, he was on his way out. So she had to make a living.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, he was like supposed to help her out with her mentalist acting. He couldn't do it anymore because he kept like...
Falling asleep on a job
and stuff. Because he was just like drinking all the time. But they showed him as a sympathetic character, though. Like he wasn't a bad person. And
well,
she wasn't...
We don't know.
Well, no, we don't know that either.
Because
I'm just saying...
he warned him about the power of that magic, so he did something bad. It's just you don't know about it, remember?
Yeah, well, he just said, don't start believing your own bullshit. Yeah, which might have implied that maybe he did that at some point in the past, and it didn't go well.
It didn't go well, right. Because why was he a drunk? It might have been some kind of regret of something that he had done because of that mentalist grift, the power that mentalism could get you. So that's how I interpreted that, is that he had a downfall. Because he believed his own shit.
But he learned and he was trying to do a good thing by warning Stan, and Stan
not
didn't listen.
Yeah.
Because Stan thought he knew better.
Right.
Fucking Stan. But so like I said, that's kind of like the whole thing. It's this cyclical tragic story.
Yeah.
Like a tragic downfall type of story.
Yeah.
And it is very bleak and it's very seedy.
Yeah.
But I kind of love that. And honestly, you know how people, like, sometimes they say, why don't they make movies like that anymore? This is a movie that's the kind of movie that they don't really make much anymore. Because this movie, I don't know how much it costs to make, but I'm sure it was a lot because it's
good.
Fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Same cinematographer as Shape of Water. So, you know, it's his same cinematographer that he's worked with before, who's Dutch, I think. But it looks gorgeous. It's, you know, an actor's ensemble. It's just, like, talent out the wazoo. And this is an R-rated adult, you know, not adult film like a porno film, but an adult, it's geared toward an older audience. Yeah. It's not superheroes. It's not an action movie. It's a drama, and it's like a slow burn type. And it's real bleak and depressing and shit like that, but it's like, and I kind of feel like they released it the same fucking weekend as the new Spider-Man movie, so you know it was going to get its ass kicked.
I wouldn't call it bleak and depressing. The end is kind of like, whoa.
Yeah.
But it's, the movie.
Yeah, because that last scene, I think we both were just like, oh, whoa. No. Oh, no. Because we saw where it was going.
I was going along with it the whole time. You know, I was kind of riveted. I was like, okay, what's going to happen next? It was interesting.
So, yeah, it really. I did not find it. It never bored me. No. It never. It's long, but it didn't really. I was just like enthralled like the whole time. I thought it was fascinating.
It's real good. And it's kind of like a noir, kind of like a detective movie, and an old gangster movie, and almost like a movie about witches and supernatural and carnies and mentalist powers.
Like
and
I said, stuff. I love shit about.
It's all kind of coming in together, in one thing, and basically. Most of the main characters are either some kind of fucking psychopath or a sociopath, and they range from being fucking dirt poor, like bums, up to billionaires, and they're all about the same.
Yeah.
In terms of being
psychos. I will say, too, that one thing that kind of, didn't shock me, but I wasn't expecting it, is that in kind of the third act, when shit starts going sideways, like with his grifts and everything, there's some pretty intense violence that I wasn't really expecting. I was like, oh, there's the Guillermo del Toro I know and love. You know what I mean? Where, some of the violence in it is, like, pretty gross. But that's, you know. So I guess that just kind of surprised me because up until then, it hadn't really, you hadn't really seen much of that. But, I mean, I don't know. I really, really liked this a lot. And I'd be shocked if I saw... This might be my favorite movie I've seen this year.
It's I don't know. I think I like Bond a little bit better, but it's up there. This is a serious movie, real good, real fun. I recommend it. I would almost say it's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece of what it is, of this type of movie, and I've never really seen one like this.
Yeah, I mean it's a neo noir.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just it has. I guess, like, the original one was a lot more gritty or whatever. This one is very lush, but it's also, I mean, just the look of it, because it's, you know, Guillermo del Toro, and that's kind of his thing. But it's also, like I said, it's really seedy, and it has, like, a really seedy kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of rooted in reality.
Yeah.
Nothing happens out of character. Like, the violence isn't just out of nowhere. There's reasons for it.
Yeah.
And it's all, like, stuff that would likely happen. Some of the stuff I knew, I was like, oh, I know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
This can only go one way. And that's how it goes. That they should have seen that shit coming.
Well, like I said, that's the tragedy of the film, is that because of his, because he thinks he's like too much of himself, you can see how he's going to downfall and he sees it.
Yeah.
And so it almost like surprises him. He's like, oh, shit.
Right.
Shit went bad. Even though everybody tried to warn him, everybody. But like I said, that was his tragic flaw. Right. So that's kind of like.
And like every time somebody does something that's fucked up, it makes sense that they did it that way.
The characters in this are.
It all makes sense.
Are very well drawn, I thought.
Yeah. Nobody does anything out of character. You would go, if I was in that position, that's. I would probably have done that. You know, because. So there isn't any characters that act stupidly or. Characters that fucking let's put it this way: there aren't any characters that act in ways contrary to what seems to be the right thing to do at the time, aside from dudes getting greedy
or what their character dictates.
Right? Yeah, dude just keeps getting greedy just because he fooled a judge. Now he's gonna fool. He keeps going up the goddamn ranks, and next thing you know, he's basically dealing with William Randolph Hearst or fucking Rockefeller. You're like, I'm gonna bring back the dead for you, you know? And I'm like, dude, come on.
Well, and everybody was telling him that, like, that's not going to work out the way you think.
He can work out how he's going to make this illusion of bringing back the dead so he can get a couple more $100,000 when he's already gotten a fortune out of the dude. All you got to do is just say, I can't do it. It's not within my abilities.
But see, he can't do
but
that.
He couldn't
because,
say it.
Because his character, that's not what his character is.
Yeah.
His character is he thinks he can do it.
I would have told him, okay, man, that's it. That's all I can do. And I'm like, I've already got about $1.5 million out of you. You know, but I can't, you know, that's good
enough. In 1941 money.
Yeah, I gotta go. You know, fucking. But oh, you know what? For an extra $200,000, yeah, I can bring her back.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I'm gonna bring her back.
And I'd be like, oh, this is gonna go so badly. It's gonna go so badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it does.
Dumbass.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that's his whole character. Like, right. He just couldn't. Thank you, No Need For Me Too. Saw the new Spidey. So good.
Everybody says it's good.
Yeah. We'll probably go see it.
We'll see it.
I mean, I don't really care about seeing it one way or the other. Yeah. You know, like I said, a lot of them are good, but I'm not real into the superhero movies, so.
The trailer for Morpheus looks good.
Morbius,
yeah.
That actually does look good.
Yeah.
I like the ones about the villains, he's not really a villain.
I don't think he's a villain. I think he's kind of like the Punisher, I think he's kind of like both, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
so
Venom.
he's not really a
kind of like Venom.
Yeah, I think it's more like a Venom type of thing, where he's kind of like conflicted,
maybe.
Like good and bad at the same time.
He's a vampire.
Basically. I don't know. Yeah, he's kind of like a vampire. That does look good, and actually, the new Matrix looks pretty good. But yeah, it kind of, like I said, it kind of bums me out. I'm not really sure what they were aiming for. Releasing Nightmare Alley the same week as Spider-Man, because like I said, you know it was going to get crushed, but I don't know, I was reading something else too that said, oh well, sometimes studios will do that because, you know, you're going to get the younger demographic shit like that going to see Spider-Man, whereas Nightmare Alley is geared more toward an older audience, so they're trying to, you know, diversify the audiences that are going to come out that week. Or, you know, maybe your kids want to go see Spider-Man and you don't want to see it, and you know, yeah. whatever, but I mean, you know what? I'd actually be shocked if this didn't get nominated for some Oscars, because it's already been nominated for a bunch of like Critics' Choice Awards and stuff like that.
What I liked about it is that it's kind of like a period piece. It is like a movie from an earlier age, but it fucking just looks great. There's nothing modern in it at all. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's really well. The production design in this is fucking gorgeous.
Right. There's no modern messaging. There's no product placement. It is like they're telling a classic tale.
Yeah, now I want to read the book, to be honest with you. I'll read the book and I want to see the... Because I was going to actually watch the original too, but I didn't have time like before we did this today. Because, you know, we went yesterday. We went to the 3:45 show. So it let out at probably like 7 o'clock. And we went to see it at the Altamont Mall. And it's the weekend before Christmas, right? So we couldn't find a place to park. We couldn't even get in the food court in the mall. It was fucking packed. The mall was fucking packed. The entire parking lot was full. Every parking lot was full.
Yeah.
You were like driving around like looking for a space like by the fucking...
Yeah.
And then we were like, fuck it. We're just going to go... So we went. We had to drive like a couple miles away and went to Koi Wan, like the buffet, and then drove all the way back to see the movie. There weren't that many people in the theater. But when we came out, there was like a fuck ton of people. So I guess like there was all those people were seeing Spider-Man probably.
I want to see. I think it's Black Adder. That's supposed to be coming out.
Black Adam.
That's Black Adder.
Black Adder was that British. That was that British comedy TV show.
It has something.
Rowan Atkinson.
I think that might have something to do with Shazam. I don't know if that's part of the Shazam universe.
It is. Yeah.
Is that Shazam 2, or is it going to be just in the same universe?
I wasn't sure. Like, I saw the trailer for it, and I was just kind of like, well, is this, like, an offshoot? Or because I thought they were doing Shazam 2, like, literally. So maybe Black Adam is, like, a offshoot, but, like, in the same universe. Yeah. Like, they're trying to do, like, a crossover? I'm not really sure.
That's got Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson's going to play Black Adam. That's going to be good. And I think he produced Shazam, the first one, or partly produced it, I don't really know. But I remember that, like, day two, because, you know, I got The Rock on Instagram, and he posted, he goes, oh, man, I'm glad you guys liked the movie. The numbers are looking great. We're going to go ahead and do a second one. It's all ready. We're going to do another. I'll do another one. So he was already putting the money up for another one. And I guess that's Black Adam.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess Shazam's going to be in it. And some people might laugh at me. I liked Shazam better than fucking the MCU. I don't really like the Marvel ones too much. I think they're full of themselves and more like a ride at Disneyland where it's just all style, no real substance. There's just too many goddamn characters, and I don't really care about them. They're not really fun to watch. Now I like the fucking Marvel Daredevil fucking series. The series are pretty good, especially Daredevil 1 and 2.
Jessica Jones
is real good. Luke Cage is real good. Unfortunately, The Punisher was disappointing because they tried to they watered that character down.
I wasn't crazy about Iron Fist either.
Yeah, kind of.
That was a little bland.
Right. And I had high hopes for fucking Punisher. Got through the first season, and I was like, ugh. And then I got partly way through the second season. The second season was a little bit better. But the Punisher has to be fucking intimidating, and he has to be basically a bad guy before me. He was great in fucking Daredevil. That's the Punisher, you know.
Sheila Ann says Willem Dafoe pops up in The Hunger. Yeah, he was in there for literally 2 seconds, like as some kind of junkie, like leaning against a phone booth. I don't know if that was like his first role, but I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah, somebody's saying like Guillermo del Toro, a lot of his stuff is not set in the present day. Yeah, that's true. Now that you mention it, all of his because a lot of his stuff, well, Pan's Labyrinth and Devil's Backbone, that was set during the Spanish Civil War. I haven't seen The Shape of Water yet. Yeah. I keep meaning to watch it, but it's just like I haven't seen it. I know it won like Best Picture, I think, when it came out. I still haven't got around to seeing it.
Oracle says Black Adam's part of the Shazam group of characters, so it's kind of a sequel. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So it's going to run alongside it.
That's what I thought. I thought it was going to be two separate movies. Okay. Like, that was the impression I got.
I don't have Shazam on Blu-ray. I need to get that bitch on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to get it, and I never got around to buying it.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked that. And another one that I liked was Into the Spider-Verse, the animated one. I thought that was great.
That was great. That was fantastic, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, I thought they were making a sequel to that, too.
Yeah, and I thought that one was going to be a loser. But in the Spider-Verse, but not, I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
I want a whole animated film of the noir Spider-Man. The black and white one from the 40s. That'd have been fucking great. 30s and 40s.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they're doing more with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if each one is getting their own offshoot movie or something like that, but I thought they were working on something along those lines.
Some of that superhero stuff only works in fucking animation. Some of it can only be animated. It doesn't make sense in live action, some of it. I was fucking real pleased with fucking both Venoms. Liked them both. I don't have either one on Blu-ray.
Yeah, those were fun.
I liked them both. Some stuff feels true to the superhero genre. Some of it doesn't. And part of that MCU stuff just didn't feel true to the comic books to me. But you know, everybody has their own opinions. You know, most people love the MCU.
And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying that just I liked them. I just they weren't real. I didn't really get all that emotionally invested.
They're kind of generic.
That's from my point of view. They just did seem kind of
very little. And you know, fucking the new Superman, not that good, man. Fucking Superman 1 and 2 from and the Donner cut of fucking Superman 2. Fucking yeah. You know, hard to beat Chris Reeves. They're just, I don't know. What else was good from fucking superheroes?
I don't really know. I'm not.
Yeah. the old Spider-Mans were pretty good with Tobey Maguire. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
I
mean, like I said, you know, we'll maybe see the new one, but, you know, it's not going to be. Because honestly, there were some other movies that I wanted to see before that. I mean, I wouldn't actually mind seeing House of Gucci.
Yeah, I gotta say, that one looked good.
That actually looked pretty good.
Yeah.
That looked like a lot of campy fun. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm into it. But, yeah, I mean, I was expecting to like this one, but I liked it way more than I was expecting. Because I kind of went into it, because like I said, I hadn't seen the book, I hadn't read the book, I hadn't seen the original. Mm-hmm. I knew it was some kind of like noirish, carny thing, but I didn't really know like what the story was going to be. So I was just kind of like, man, I'm just going to go see it like kind of sight unseen. And man, it was like really, all the fucking acting is good in it. It was just...
Oracle said they are making a sequel to Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I thought they were. I thought they were. Pat says, I enjoyed the Dolph Lundgren version of The Punisher, believe it or not. His acting was not good. And I don't know how it compared to the comics, but I liked it as sort of drive-in action movie. I think I've seen that, but it's been so long that I can't, like, remember.
Evidently, Mango didn't like House of Gucci. I can tell by just the way he's talking.
Yeah, I've seen House of Gucci. Let me know what you think of it if you see it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we already have the AMC stub, so.
And Pat has it agrees with me, man. Fucking Chris Reeves was the shit. He was the shit. That was Superman. Now, Superman 3 and 4, you know, they kind of not good. Not, you know, Superman 4 was a fucking disaster. I got it. I still haven't seen it yet. Somebody sent it to me. Sent me all of them. I haven't got as far as 4. But I heard that 4 is so fucking out there that it's a canon film. It's so bad it might be good.
We'll have to get drunk one night and watch that.
And see Superman 4. I remember seeing Superman 4 just on HBO when it came out, and I looked at it for like a couple seconds. And, no.
You could already tell.
And it turned it. Nope. So I never even got through it.
Superman 4 is one of those movies where even if you look at stills from the movie, you can tell that it's not good.
It's like Turkish Superman. It was like a Turkish Superman movie.
Oh my god.
That's what it looked like.
All those Turkish ripoffs.
But some people says, no man, you gotta see it, it's fucking hilarious. But I'll check it out when I get around to it.
Yeah, we do have it. We just haven't pulled the trigger on watching it yet. Oh my god. All right, so you want to wrap it up?
Yeah,
I'm kind of sleepy, to be honest with you. Even though I got sleep, I don't know why. But yeah, if you want to see like an actual R-rated, adult-oriented drama about carnies and shit like that, like a noir, this is like really fucking good. Like I said, some people are complaining because it's like, oh, it's a little too long. Fuck that.
Yeah.
People got ADD.
I know.
I guess. And I did not. Yeah, it's long, but that did not bother me in the slightest.
Let me throw some ADD in there. I want to say something before we shut it down. Another one I'm pissed off is that whatever happened to our fucking sequel to fucking Battle Angel? Alita Battle Angel was fucking great.
Yeah, but how long is that going to take to make?
Not a peep. And evidently they kept a bunch of expensive live action sets and shit to continue to make that. And I thought that was great, man. It was much better than Ghost in the Shell. And Ghost in the Shell wasn't as bad as people said it was. It's just that I think their hopes were real high based on the manga. The fans didn't like it. But Battle Angel, I thought that was great, man. They were set up a good fucking character. I wanted to find out more about the Martian Wars and the fucking Battle Angels and shit and fucking how they did shit. And I thought it was cool. Cyborgs.
I guess Mango's talking about House of Gucci, but it says it has some good performances, but it's a bit of a mess in my view. Lots of actors chewing the scenery. Oh, now I really want to watch it. Like I said, I kind of feel like I'm going to go into it with it just being like over the top and like campy, and I'm just like, I'll try to enjoy it on that level.
Well, in a way, there's been some good movies, like that Adam Sandler movie, fucking, where he played the damn gangster, it was all over the place. It was great.
Uncut Gems,
Uncut Gems is a fucking masterpiece. It's great. And I'm not a huge Sandler fan.
I'm not either.
But if you want to see a cool fucking gangster movie about Jewish gangsters down in the fucking Diamond District, see that one. That was fucking badass.
I told you that movie like made me like have anxiety.
Yeah.
That was one of the most anxiety inducing movies I've ever watched.
Talk about fucking talk about grifting. That dude was grifting and scamming 24/7. You go, how the fuck did he do this with other people's money? You know? And he goes, this is what I do. It's just, oh man.
Oscar says, Jenny, what's your exact Cash App name? I think it's just Jenny Ashford. JNNYASHFRD, I think.
You get a super chat.
With a space in between, I think. Yeah. So I think it's just my actual name. I'd have to look, though.
What'd you know?
Is she laying on her back?
Yeah, she's trying to get attention.
Like a weirdo?
Yeah.
That's what she does. She's like,
I said that being drunk is the best way to watch Superman 4.
That's kind of, yeah.
Okay, we'll get drunk and watch Superman 4.
One of these days.
Yeah.
Maybe we should watch it tonight, do a matinee on it. We got to do Identity as well, because Rob says that.
Oracle said Chris Reeves is one of those actors who embraced not just a superhero role, but the legacy, knowing that so many kids would see him as Superman. I agree.
I mean, he just seemed like a good dude overall.
Yeah.
You know?
Superman, the Superman character, and this is what's missing out of the new Supermans. Superman himself has an intense level of purity to him. He has to be very morally pure. You have to fucking suspect this dude of being a virgin. And that's fucking Superman. That is Superman.
Yeah.
When you look at a Superman, you're gonna be like, that's the kind of dude that actually doesn't get in the ass. Like he's afraid of hurting that woman's feelings. That guy, he's got to protect her feelings because he got to be Superman. He can't have children and a family. He's got to go. He's got to save the world and shit. So he's got to be kind of an angelic being. They are based upon angels. El means fucking God, Kal-El and fucking Jor-El and fucking yeah. And this is all a retelling of fucking, in a way, Jesus. God and the Son of God. Jesus. It is a Jewish story. It's basically about a Jewish kid sent to America to escape fucking fascism, you know, and the Nazis. So
that's what my Cash App is. Yeah. So it's the little dollar sign of Jenny. Oh, it's all run together.
Yeah.
Or try Jennifer Ashford.
Right.
See, I can't even remember. I don't use this that often. So I don't really know. But that's what it is.
So Superman's got to be kind of boyish. He can't be dark. There's no way of you can't have a dark Superman, really.
Yeah, some superheroes you can do like gritty reboots, but yeah Superman, I mean, you can do it. I'm not saying you can't.
Superman
but...
had dark moments, even in the Chris Reeves versions when he went bad for the fucking the poisoning from the goddamn fucking what do you call it the man-made kryptonite. You know what I mean? And he. So there are times when he had dark moments, but Superman has to be a character of moral purity, or you don't buy into it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Mango says, Superman 4 is bad with a capital B, but a must-see. Batshit crazy fun.
Okay.
Tonight, let's watch Identity and Superman 4. Okay. And then we'll do matinees on those. Well, because we need, like, two movies because tomorrow night we can't watch a movie because we're going to Memento Mori, the Christmas Memento Mori at the club.
Yeah.
So we won't be able to watch. So we got to watch two movies tonight.
Yeah. Oscar told me not to slander Christ. I didn't slander Christ. It's all right. Oscar, he sent you something.
Oh, okay. Let me look. See what's got. I keep my phone way over there.
You can give
me
credit for it.
Wait, where'd it go? What's happening? I don't know. What's happening?
Mago says that's a good double bill.
Yeah. Well, those are the two that we have, like, to you know, watch, so... Okay. All right.
Did you get it?
Thank you very much.
How much was the super chat?
Well, hold on. So hold on. I'm not really sure because, like I said, I don't really, like, use this all that often.
She doesn't really know how to use it.
Yeah. Like I said, I only got it because I had one friend that was, like, using it, and I don't really know. And I don't even have a bio. I have my wrong address is on there still. I'll figure it out later. I don't know what's happening. But yeah, so.
She doesn't know how to do it, dude.
So thank you very much, yeah.
How much was it, bro? Probably five.
Yeah, like, don't worry about it.
I ain't worried about it.
All right, so are we done? So yeah, go see Nightmare Alley, everybody.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah, well worth it. That's when you should see it in the theater.
I mean, I really liked it. Yeah. I thought it was really, really good. But yeah, it's 2.5. So
it's a trip.
Yeah, so if you think it's going to be long or if you think it's going to be slow, then don't. Like, don't go see it, but... I mean, I recommend it. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was, like, really, really good.
It's a certain kind of movie. It'll kind of pull you in.
Yeah, I totally got sucked in. Like I said, it didn't seem long to me at all. Because I was just, like, I was totally, like, fascinated by it. All right, so tomorrow we'll be back talking about either Identity or Superman 4. We're not going to tell you which one. We don't know which one.
We don't know yet.
We'll figure it out. But yeah, so have a good rest of your weekend, everybody. Thanks for super chats and donations and all that kind of stuff. And we'll see you guys again tomorrow afternoon.